This is episode 65 of Growing the Game with Ballsy. Hi, I'm Ballsy. Yeah, hard to believe I've been doing this for 65 episodes now, and it's starting to gain some traction, but like anything, it takes time. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, thanks for your support, and please spread the word. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. Here's what it's about. This podcast is dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Yes, I'll talk Riders because, well, the Riders are important to everybody from border to border. But I also want to highlight our own athletes who are trying to make their way in this sport of football. We often ignore the athletes here right in our own backyard. I've always said this. We'll spend $80 to go watch a guy come up here from Lakeland, Florida to play with the Rough Riders, but we won't spend $20 to watch a kid from Lakewood, Regina play football either at the RMF level or at the Rams or Thunder level or with the Hilltops or Huskies. So I just think it's time for us to put some more emphasis on our local kids and what's going on here in the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Hope you like what you hear, and let's get going with episode 65 of Growing the Game with Ballsy. And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by our friends over there at Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent out, or you want to rent a travel trailer this camping season, check them out at wheelestate.ca. Brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan. And I want to thank the Concord Group for getting on board in that respect. And also Paul Waldo over there at Royal LePage, the home expert team. Give him a call, 306-502-5355. Let's start there. Zach Evans joining me here on the phone line. By the way, we'll get to your contract in a second. Who's the greatest Thunder player of all time?
Oh, that's a hard question. Jeez. Well, I think only me and Dan Clark have made it to the next level, I believe. I'm not 100% sure. There's a couple of guys that have gone from the Thunder to the Rams and then forward.
Yeah.
I don't know, honestly. I would never tell anyone that I'm it, but
well, you'd be right there, man. I think a case could be made for a lot of guys, but I'd say probably if I had to pick it, and not just because you're on the phone line with me, it would be you. But I mean, where I'm going with this, though, is, you know, I want you to talk about your Thunder days and just what a great program it was and was for you and what it did for you. Because there's you, there's Dan Clark, there's Stu Ford, there's Chris Getzlaff, there's Paul Waldo, just off the top of my head. Like, those are those are really big names that made it to professional football. Paul Waldo won 3 Grey Cup championships. I guess where I'm going is you don't have to play university football if you want to get to the next level.
Honestly, like, that is my biggest point when I'm talking to some younger kids, because I know most of these kids have never wanted to go to university, nor do they ever want to. And they have no chance of going to the CFL. And I tell them, no, that's completely wrong. I didn't go to university, and I'm a 2-time Grey Cup champion. It's just there's other avenues now in Canadian football, because it used to be that junior football was just a stepping stone to CIS. But now we have guys going to the CFL left, right, and center from very good teams. And it's kind of good to hear that coming from the CFL.
Yeah, for sure. So what made the Thunder program right for you? What were some of the great things they did for you to help you along your football journey?
They helped me not only because they brought me in. Erwin Klempner called me after I stopped playing with the Rams, and he was just like, Zach, there's an opportunity for you to come here. You'll still get exposure to the CFL. And not only that, but I had a job at the Co-op Refinery at the time, so they could work around my schedule. I could play football ball, but also go to work every day, and that was what I wanted to do.
Yeah, excellent. That's what I did, too. I worked at the Leader Post while I played with the Rams before I decided what path I wanted to take, and I really love junior football, too, and I think it's very, very important. Are you concerned for, like, I know you're busy with your own life, a family, and a pro football guy, but are you concerned with, like, the health of junior football? I know it's pretty strong here in Saskatchewan. We got the Hilltops, we got the Thunder, and it's not bad in places like Edmonton and Calgary, but, you know, the further east you get, it kind of, I don't know, it's kind of dicey.
I don't know, because, like, I spent the last couple of years out east, and just knowing how many young football players there are out there. Like, there, I went to I think there was 32 like minor football teams that I went to while I was a Red Black, and I spoke to them, and I was just like, there's so much football out east, and if they want to go further, there's lots of teams. I remember seeing the Hamilton Hurricanes and all those kind of teams out there. Like, there's opportunities out there not only to just to play CIS, but also junior football. So I think it's getting stronger, and it's only going to get stronger. And they can, at this point, I feel like teams like the Hilltops, the Thunder, the Colts, they can compete with most of these CIS teams.
Zach Evans of the Saskatchewan Roughriders joining me here on Growing the Game with Balls. We thank him for taking his time out in this busy Christmas season, and we'll get to that in a second. Okay, Zach, what turned you on to the game of football? Like, how long have you been playing football from your early days, and what got you started in the game?
What got me started was my dad played for the Rams for many, many years. He won a national championship with the Rams. He went to Ryder training camp. He played beside Bob Poley and Roger Aldag and guys like that. He practiced with them. He learned from them, and he's still very good friends with them. So I grew up hearing all of these stories and meeting Bob and meeting Roger and stuff like this. And I always wanted to play football. But as a kid, I was a lot larger than most kids, and I was way too heavy to play against kids my own age.
Yeah.
And so my dad actually didn't let me play football until there was no weight limit. And that was all the way till bantam. So I didn't start till I was in actually grade 9. Instead of playing high school ball, I played for the Packers for the RMF.
Right.
And I was playing tailback at that time. That was when Darren Piper, he's one of the coaches, and he said, I'm going to put my best player at tailback and let him run all over kids. And everyone always said, like, hey, we need to see that kid's birth certificate and stuff. And I had it with me no matter what. I was still young. It's just I was a big boy. And, no, honestly, like, from then, I went to high school and played football grade 10, grade 11 and 12. And it was just – it was ingrained in my blood. And I wanted to go further. I wanted to succeed. And I was still playing tailback and D-end and punter and kicker and returner and – I played everything. It was absolutely amazing, and it was just lots of fun.
Xander is your 4-year-old son. Is he getting a love for football early on? I see a lot of pictures with him walking with you hand in hand on the field. Would you be more than happy if he followed in your footsteps, like you followed in your father's?
I'm honestly never going to like force him into anything. If he wants to play any sport, he can, but if he doesn't want to play, it's all good. Like, I just want to support him in anything he chooses, but he loves football, he loves sports, he plays t-ball, he plays soccer, he plays everything, and he's always tackling guys. He comes on the field and goes right after the black shirts, and those are the quarterbacks, right?
That's
so
right.
I tell him to go tackle Zach and stuff like that. He loves playing football. He loves the guys. He loves being in the locker room. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to have a kid when I was younger so he could watch me grow up and play football and be a part of that and kind of have it ingrained in his blood too. And I'm very happy to have him.
Zach Evans joining us here, Growing the Game with Ballsy. You had him December the 20th, so he is going to be 5 years old coming up here, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm doing the math correctly.
No, he's turning four.
He's turning four. Okay, so he's turning 4 years old. So do you do a good job of separating birthday and Christmas? Because I have a son that's born on December 23rd, and we've always done a good job of not ripping him off.
Yeah, you can't rip off the kid. Like, he's got to have two celebrations. So I usually do a birthday party a couple days before. So, like, he had his birthday party yesterday.
Uh-huh.
We took him to the trampoline Get Air, and we had a big party and stuff like that. And then we'll do Christmas and all that stuff after, just to kind of split it up to not rip him off.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the best – what'd you get him for his birthday? What'd he get for his birthday?
He got some – like Nerf guns, basically.
Oh, yeah. Dad,
with
him
can, remote control car that he's already broken. So I got to take that back and get a new one.
That's awesome. I
don't even remember what I got him for Christmas. It's been wrapped for about a week and a half. And I don't even remember. I just threw them all together.
You know, one of my favorite things about you just talking to you here is that you love being a dad. I like that. What's your favorite part about being a dad?
My favorite part about being a dad is like just seeing him every day learning and adapting and overcoming, and I can see his youthful smile, and I can see his joy and his excitement every single day in so many different ways. And mm-hmm. it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done as a human being, is being a father. It's everything I've ever wanted to be. And honestly, like it's my greatest accomplishment.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with you. I think it's the most important job a guy could have. And I think our world gets into a bit, not to get into social commentary here, but I think our world gets into a bit of problems because of, broken families, and then the dad is kind of not around, or he treats the kids like they're just a payment, and then it just kind of, I think fathers need to be in kids' lives for sure. Okay, speaking of influences, who influenced you early on, Zach, when you got into the CFL, were kind of slugging away in the practice roster and then made your way? Who took you under his wing?
I would have to say Keith Shulgin. Obviously, he was my mentor. That's what I grew as a football player trying to become. He was an all-star. He was great. He's a Canadian nose tackle that played many, many years. And I was his competition, and he knew it, but he kind of put that aside when I was younger. And he said, "Hey, Zach, this is what you need to do to be successful in this league." And we played together for a long time, obviously with the Riders for 3 years, and then got taken in the expansion draft and we played another 2 years after that together. So just knowing who he is and what he stands for, like I appreciate that guy very much.
Zach Evans joining me here, Growing the Game with Ballsy. We're enjoying his time here. Now, in terms of, I heard a story, you didn't want to go to Ottawa on the dispersal draft. Like, you were kind of reluctant. Is that true?
Yeah, honestly, I've been a Rider fan my entire life. I have been, I've bled to green and white my entire life. And honestly, I had no idea I would even be looked at for the expansion draft. And they took Sholo first round, and I was like, wow, now I get a chance to start. Mm-hmm. I get a chance to establish myself as a player, blah, 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 with the Riders. And my name comes up the next round, and I'm like, what the hell do I do now, right? Like, it was kind of surreal, because at that point I was just starting to play more with the Riders, and I was like, I have to go to this expansion team. I have to leave my family, my hometown. I have to leave my job. It's just, everything was just stacked against me. So, like, I contemplated just retiring for a couple years and then signing with the Riders again, but in the end, I went with the Red Blacks, and it was the best thing I did for my career. I got an opportunity to establish myself as a dominant Canadian nose tackle, and I actually won another Grey Cup, things like that. And
well, you were in three Grey Cups in 4 years, my friend. It was like a regular game on the schedule for you. I think it was. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to go through. I watch so many games and so many seasons just go by, especially when you get older. You're going to find that out, Zach. But anyway, I think I caught a picture. Weren't you laying on the field after you won the Grey Cup? Wasn't that a picture of you on the field? Am I correct when that happened? Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was me in Toronto. Yeah. They had we were celebrating, obviously, our victory, and I went outside just to get some fresh air because it was getting a little cigar-y inside the locker room. And I was just getting some fresh air, and I saw this gigantic logo in the middle of BMO Field.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go lay down. Went and laid down, closed my eyes. I was just like about to fall asleep, and all I heard was like a buzzing sound.
Yeah.
And I opened my eyes, and I see this camera looking right at me, and I'm like, oh, no, I thought everyone was gone.
That's a great story. Hey, so I ask you, are you a memorabilia guy? Like, do you save some stuff from your playing career? You know, you got a son, maybe you'll have more kids. You said you wanted to have a kid that could see you play. Do you save some piece of memorabilia that you could show him? Like, that would be an iconic picture, man.
Yeah, I honestly have a jersey from every year I've ever played. I'm going to mount them all downstairs in my man cave at some point. I have a helmet from every team. I have, obviously, my Grey Cup rings. And over the years, I've had people give me collages of pictures that they took, or mm-hmm. like professional photographers giving me pictures and stuff. So I'm going to print off a whole bunch of stuff and make a nice little man cave for myself when I'm old and I can actually look back on the memories.
Hey, so you're 28 years old, but they've been a hard 28 years in the world of football. And I'm not trying to cut you down, but you've been on the field for a lot here the last little while. So when you look at this four-year contract with the Riders, do you see this maybe as kind of your maybe last real big hefty, like, I guess what I'm saying is, do you think this is your last contract? Like, by the time this one's done, you'll be 32 going on 33. And we know in the world of football, that's kind of, you know, you're getting long in the tooth there. Are you kind of approaching it like that, or how do you approach this contract?
I'm going into this contract as my second last contract,
okay.
Honestly. This one will take me till I'm 32, and then right now I'm in my prime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna play like that for the next 4 years, obviously, and then obviously I'll be 32, and hopefully I'll sign a 1 or 2 year contract to get me to 34, 35, and then be done by then. But who knows? Like, you never know with the CFL. You never know with football, with injuries.
Yeah.
Hopefully not any, but things happen, and I'm kind of taking it year by year. But having this 4 year contract under my belt it kind of puts my heart to ease.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I'll just wrap it up here. I know you got lots on the go. I didn't mean that in a derogatory way. Just that you're, like, inside there, it's a car accident on every play. I don't think people understand that. You're getting hit on every play. And so I have a lot of admiration for a guy like you, or the guy who's your teammate across the line of scrimmage from you in Brendan Labatt. This guy is, you know, 15 years. He's been at the top of his game, one of those workhorses. How do you keep in shape? How do you keep your body fine-tuned? Because, like I said, you've had a lot of miles on your 28-year-old body.
Right. Well, no, it's kind of a mix of things. Obviously, you have to work out a lot. You have to train. You have to do the right things with your body, with mobility, stretching. Obviously, I'm a Ukrainian dancer, so I'm very flexible, and I keep my flexibility throughout my entire career. But it's not only that, but it's also resting. It's also eating better. It's also like just the little things that you do with your life. If you get a rolled ankle in training, you take care of it before you can get worse, stuff like that. So there's a lot of things that you can do as an older person. Like, I'm 28. I'm not old at all.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
So, like, I'm excited just to get back out there and then compete, obviously.
Well, and we love watching you compete, and you just got me onto something else. I did not know you're still a Ukrainian dancer. Do you still actively do it?
I'm not allowed to actively do it anymore. I haven't done it as a performance since I was 20 or 21. But I can still do it. I've done it. I've shown guys on the field and stuff, because they don't believe me, right? I'm 300 pounds.
Yeah.
They don't think I can jump up and do split jumps anymore, but I can still do it. Like,
that's outstanding.
It never leaves your body. It never leaves you.
That's outstanding. So you talked about you're not allowed to do it. Do you have things in your contract you're not allowed to do? I was going to ask you this earlier in the interview. You took your son Xander and his friends to the trampoline place. Are you allowed to do anything like that? Is there stuff written into your contract? I know some guys do where they can't do stuff.
No, like, it's just if you injure yourself outside of football, then your contract's kind of null and voided, right? Like, it's kind of like if you hurt yourself and you can't participate in football anymore, well, like, you're an idiot. Why would you do that, right?
Yeah.
So I try and stay as safe as possible. Obviously, I'm jumping a little bit on those trampolines, but I'm not doing crazy backflips or anything like that. I would never try and hurt myself.
Yeah.
But even guys playing basketball in the off season and stuff, like, I know guys use it to stay in shape with running and jumping and stuff, but, like, if they get hurt, you got to be careful, right? So as long as you're good to go for the season,
It's all good. All right, Zach Evans, two more quick questions for you. This will kind of tie into the football side, then we'll wrap up with a family question here on Growing the Game with Ballsy. Zach, in terms of being a guy that started here, like you said, Bantam, and has worked his way through the Thunder program, won a Grey Cup here, went away, won another Grey Cup, and came back, how important is it for you to be a role model for that little tyke, that guy in the John Ryan League, the Mini-Mite League here at RMF, for, you know, all the way through that, I want to grow up and be Zach Evans. How important is it for you to be a role model?
Honestly, that's the best part of my job. The best part of my job is not being on the field playing football. It's being in the community, sharing my knowledge, my experiences, and trying to give hope to that little guy who doesn't think he's going to amount to anything or doesn't think he's going to play football or even go to the next level. It's giving those guys hopes, giving that little girl the ability to say, hey, you can do it too. Like there's ability for all genders. There's ability for LGBT communities. There's everything. Anybody can participate, and anybody can go out there and be their best person. And like, even if you don't want to play sports, that's cool too. Like, it's just accepting everyone and just being that rock for our community to be able to say, hey, like, anybody can do it.
All right, lastly, Zach Evans, you mentioned Ukrainian, you mentioned Christmas. Do you have some special traditions or things that you do around Christmas time?
Honestly, like, Christmas is just regular old turkey and stuffing and all that stuff. But when I met my wife, we went, and she's very Ukrainian. We used to do the 12 meatless dishes mm-hmm. on Christmas Eve and stuff like that. So that's been a part of my traditions for a long time. But yeah, I'm kind of all ears. I love enjoying the holidays and eating bad food. It's amazing.
I'll tell you what, man, this is one of the best interviews I've had the pleasure of conducting in a long time. And we're glad you're back in the fold for another 4 years. And please don't punch me out when you see me at the field. I wasn't suggesting you're old. I'm just suggesting that you've played a lot of football lately and you haven't exactly been a kicker. You know what I mean?
Hey, I also haven't missed a game. So that just goes to show how my body can react to that, right?
Hey, and that's a good point. Before we wrap up, that's a good point. That's an impressive record. That's, you know, as much as you won the Grey Cup rings, they always say your best ability is availability. That must be something you can hang your hat on.
100%. That honestly, I think that's why coaches and GMs, they value me so much, is because I, no matter what, and I'll tell them straight up, I'm like, I'm going to be available to you every week, no matter what, even if I have I played on a torn meniscus that entire season when we won in 16. Mm-hmm. I've played with so many ailments. I had a torn labrum for years. I had a torn bicep all last year, stuff like that. And you go in the off season, you have 6 months to get ready. You go get a surgery or two, and you recoup and you go do it again for 6 months. That's just what you do as a football player. And I feel like Saskatchewan has instilled that in me to just kind of suck it up and do it. You know, that's what people in Saskatchewan do. It's cold outside. Well, you go outside anyways. You go to work. That's what you do.
Yeah.
You have to provide for your family.
Well, isn't that how the song goes? That old Rider song, we never give in, we never give up. We're Saskatchewan tough. And that guy right there, Zach Evans, Saskatchewan tough. Love you, brother. Happy Christmas. Happy holidays.
All right. Merry Christmas. Have a good one.
Take care, bud.
Bye.
And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, and it's brought to you by our fine sponsors, Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home expert team. Give him a call, 306-502-5355. By Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Thanks to David Dubay for his support of this podcast. And also brought to you by our friends at Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent or you want to rent out your travel trailer, you can check them out online at wheelestate.ca. Well, very happy to say this. Noah Pickton, quarterback of the Toronto Argonauts. He signed a 3-year deal. How does that sound, my friend?
A little bit different from what I've been hearing the past 5 years, but it's nice. I'm excited for sure.
Have you always been a CFL fan growing up?
I was. I think you, as a kid growing up in Regina, it's pretty hard not to be, with the Riders being, you know, as important and big as they are here in the state. I remember going to games for as long as I can remember watching the team and being a fan of the game, for sure.
Did this signing, I don't know if I want to use the word surprise you, but were you expecting to be signed? Like, didn't come as a shock, did it?
I don't know if I was expecting to sign or given the contract or the 2+ an option. I knew I'd be in contact with the team just kind of based off a call I received from Jim Pop during the season, but I wasn't too sure what to expect. But when they said we want to bring you back out to camp and sign you for a couple of years, it was exciting for me.
Were you like when you left camp there in training camp? We'll get to that in a second. But when you left training camp, did you think you were just gonna kind of getting lip service that a lot of Canadian quarterbacks probably had gotten before? Like, you know, like, yeah, we'll keep tabs on you. We like what you did, because you didn't get any, unless I missed it, Noah, you didn't get any reps in games in the preseason. So were you kind of leery as to the, you know, maybe I probably won't get invited back?
That definitely crossed my mind. But at the same time, with being around a guy like Mark Trestman, you realize that he's extremely genuine and unlike a lot of people that I've ever met before. So I kind of went back and forth. I realized they're probably being nice, you know, just kind of send me home on a good note. But at the same time, I felt comfortable with, you know, how I was in meetings and at practice through camp. Although I didn't get in the game, I felt like I gave a fairly good impression.
You know, kind of interesting there in Toronto too. Jim Popp remains, but Mark Trestman's gone. But I guess a familiar face has taken over that team, and Corey Chamberlain, familiar to you because, of course, he was the coach of the Riders, and you just talked about being a Rider fan growing up here.
Yeah, it's going to be easier for sure, given that I experienced the camp with Chamberlain in 2015. So that'll be good for me. I'm not going to have to meet anybody too new. So yeah, I don't know who's going to be in the quarterback room. Or who the coordinator is going to be, but I think having Chamberlain there will make it a little bit easier for me.
Real beneficial for you too, Noah, I would think, that you went to training camp last year, familiar surroundings once again, same team. You'll be able to hit the ground running, so to speak.
I think so. Just knowing the guys, knowing the locker room. Again, if Tommy Condell's out there, if Calvillo's out there, and the quarterback stays the same, it's going to make it a lot easier for myself, kind of just knowing who I'm there with, the receivers and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to it this year for sure, just because of that.
I don't know how religious you are, what your spirituality is like, nor am I asking you, but the word I'd use is blessed after what happened to you at the end of the season here with that toe. And we weren't just talking football. We were wondering if Noah Pickton was maybe going to walk again, and now you got a chance to go to camp and earn a job in the CFL. You must feel like a pretty blessed guy around this holiday season.
I do. Yeah, I feel very lucky. It was a bit of a scare that, you know, that health concern, that foot thing. So I didn't know what the future was going to hold. So I'm very thankful for where I'm at right now, and I'm excited to make the most of it.
Yeah, how bitter. I guess this is nice for you. It kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It kind of paints things in a positive light when I'm sure you were pretty pretty down, I would imagine, Noah, on a great football career. You'd hate to have it end just like that without giving yourself another chance to get back in a competitive situation.
Absolutely. It was a tough year, obviously, for a number of reasons. You know, you have the university kind of take your season away from you and all your teammates, and that's tough. And then with my foot injury, it's kind of getting kicked while you're down. So this is definitely kind of an upswing for me, this news.
You know, no, I don't want you to, I mean, you say whatever you want to say. We really have, I haven't really addressed this with you, so you say what you want to say, okay? And we didn't do any pre-interview here, so this is just me throwing it out there. You want to answer it, fine, you don't. How bitter was that for you in your last year? Heck, Crichton guy a couple of years ago, and I know it's not about Noah Pickton, but you're at the end of your career. You guys have a pretty good team, and as it turned out, it was a pretty wide-open conference to have a clerical error screw up your season. And it's kind of, not just at the university level, it seems just in U Sports in general, just kind of nonchalantly thrown to the side, like, oh, yeah, well, it's going to happen again. To me, I'll just quite frankly say it, to me, it's bullshit.
Yeah, It's just tough when there's some incompetence, and, you know, at the end of the day, it's really the players suffering, and it seems to just be pushed aside when whoever's making errors, or no matter how high up it goes, it seems that whoever's in charge is pretty comfortable with the players taking the brunt of it. So it's frustrating for sure, and I think some things definitely have to change for me. The U Sports level to the individual schools.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because you've been through this. It's almost like, and I think it feels this way at the University of Regina, because we just saw the basketball team go through it, but I think it's a bigger problem across Canada. U Sports, and in particular football, let's talk about football, they treat it barely better than a participation sport, which I find absolutely ridiculous, because of all the sports at the university level, this is the one where guys can go to the next level and play pro football, as I'm talking to one of the guys. You'd think they put more resources and more attention and time into this thing, don't you?
You do. You would hope so, for sure. It's, you know, being a student athlete, it's a big commitment. You know, guys are giving up co-op programs. You know, they're not going home to see their families over the summers because they're staying to train. You know, they're busy 12 months of the year. And it's just kind of it's frustrating when you don't see that effort or care reciprocated back to you as an athlete from the league or from the university. So it's frustrating. And going forward, I hope the people in charge will kind of take notice of this and realize that they gotta make some changes on their end.
How do you want your Ram career to be remembered, Noah, now that it's done?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think. You know, I just kind of want to be remembered as a guy who loved the game. You know, he was passionate about the game, enjoyed being around his teammates, worked hard. I'm proud of my career. I'm really, really happy to say that I played for this team. You know, playing for a guy like Frank McChrystal, Bernie Schmidt, I take a lot of pride in it. So it's been a great 5 years and something that I'm going to look back very fondly.
One guy you were lobbing the ball to probably at family picnics and then through the Rams is Mitch Pickton. He gets another crack with the Riders. That's kind of nice for Mitch and kind of nice for the Pickton name.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. He's getting healthy. He's getting strong again. So he's going to have a good camp come May and June. So I'm looking forward to watching him and seeing the success that he can have at this next level.
Okay, so I asked Mitch this. I'll wrap the interview up by asking you this. What's the, besides this contract you just got from the Argos, what's the best Christmas present that Noah Pickton has received throughout his young life so far?
Best Christmas present. Oh, you put me on the spot. I don't even know. I got a vinyl record player this year, which has been pretty good so far. It's kind of some good background study music right now, but... Yeah, I don't know. There's been lots of good ones through the years. I got a lot of footballs growing up, so I think I still have some of those.
Hey, that's cool, vinyl records. So what kind of vinyl are you listening to? Do you got any cool records you can tell us about?
I went out. Well, I got the record player. I went out and bought a couple Led Zeppelin records. I got a Frank Sinatra one, a couple Stones. A little bit of everything, so it's a good mixture. I'm rummaging through my mom's old ones as well, so there's a good collection that she's got. There's a lot of different music playing right now.
Are you a classic rock guy? I mean, nostalgia music's been, you know, the old-time classic rock's coming back now, you know, with the Bohemian Rhapsody because of the movie and stuff off of Queen. Are you kind of like a classic rock guy in some respects?
Yeah, Led Zeppelin's my favorite band all time, so I would definitely categorize myself as one of those classic rock guys.
I knew I liked you for a reason, absolutely. Hey, I'll like you till you come to town and play against the Riders, but no, absolutely, we're happy you're in the league, and hopefully you get a fair crack. And I guess lastly, let's leave it at that, because there's a lot of Canadian kids that look up to you, look up to you in terms of you know, look, and I know we're joking here, but look up to you in terms of your stature, in terms of what you've done at this level. What kind of message you want to give to these young kids that are trying to, you know, maybe do what you did and take it to the next level like you are?
I think it's just a cliche of work hard. Always have the thing in the back of your mind that no matter how hard you're working, someone's working harder than you are. So that's kind of the motivator. Always chasing somebody. There's no substitute for hard work. There's no fancy recipe or secret formula. It doesn't matter where you're from. If you put the time in, good things are going to happen. So it doesn't matter if you're American, Canadian, wherever you're from, if you put the time in, it's going to work out for you.
I suppose, too, you know, you go to Toronto, you're a Canadian guy, Canadian quarterbacks already are behind the eight ball, but you're a guy, I joke about your stature, but you play like a big man, you play like you're 6'5", that you've always played with a chip on your shoulder, so I guess it's no big deal to you.
No, it's nothing new for me. Every level of football, I've always kind of faced the same challenge with the size aspect, so it's just another jump going into the CFL now.
Hey, Merry Christmas, my friend. Thanks for this, and best of luck.
Likewise. Take care.
Well, I'm going to step aside from a little football talk here on Growing the Game with Ballsy to have a little fun with you. Of course, each weekday morning, you can find me and my co-host Chad McDonald on 104.9 The Wolf on your Wolf app, as we're the morning show, and happy to be there each and every morning for you to bring some entertainment and information. Yeah, we talk about a lot of different things, including this week, NHL coaches being fired like left and right. Five have been canned. I think it was in the first 44 days. Man, those coaches are down in their luck. Is your favorite NHL coach needlessly suffering because he doesn't have a job next season? Sadly, many coaches and GMs may be forced to go to work in the fast food industry, custodial engineering, or even worse, they may have to live off their multi-million dollar severance packages. Sure, you've imagined the horror of Todd McClellan and Dave Hackstall serving fries at the mall, or Joel Quinville restocking the shelves at Walmart, and you thought to yourself, one day I'll help. Well, John Stevens doesn't have until the 12th of never. No, coaches like Mike Yeo need your help now. For just $3,000 a day, you can help your favorite coach or GM get that boat, beach house, or sports car they so desperately need and deserve. Hey, if help doesn't come soon, the grandkids of Ron Hextall may have to work. Please, help now. After all, it's not like you fans have been overcharged for tickets and beer. Pick up the phone today and call 1-800-SAVE-AN-NHL-COACH. And that brings to a close episode 65 of Growing the Game with Ballsy. Thanks to Noah and Zach Evans. That was a fun interview with Zach as well. I'd like to thank my sponsors for helping me grow the game of football here in the province. That would be Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and David Dubé over there at the Concord Group of Companies. Also, want to thank Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. Give him a call, 306-502-5355 if you're wanting to buy or sell a house. Also, wheelestate.ca if you want to get in your camping experiences coming spring and summer. You can check them out online at wheelestate.ca. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent or rent one out, they're the place to go, and all their rentals backed by a $1 million insurance policy. If you have a story idea you want me to pursue, please email me mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Also, you want to sponsor me, hit me up at that same email. You can check me out weekdays on The Wolf in Regina, 104.9 The Wolf, and on your Wolf app on your phone, 6 to 10 a.m. every morning. Been doing it for almost 22 years now. And also, you can check me out on the Rider pre- and post-game show, of course, when the season fires up. Hey, thanks for checking us out, and we'll talk to you soon.